you know, we've had housing here on our third floor at Park for like 13 years. And the way we've managed this is that it's kind of like, as long as we are uninterested in what people do inside their four walls, as long as it's, they do it, like, I'm not going to police people what they do inside. Like, nobody gets to tell me what I do at home. It's only where that those activities start to impact on other tenants or the community. And so we've had people who've struggled over the time, but in fact, they've got a very calm kind of, like, they kind of understand it. They don't want to screw it up. Yeah. Nobody cares what you're doing behind your door, as long as generally you're not, you know, impacting on your neighbor or the community. And so it's a very, in fact, one of the things is that from a normalizing aspect is, but every now and then somebody might be episodically sick. So they may get themselves into a crisis of some sort. And that's where we come in. So we will then just provide supports. So the Edmund Place model is somewhat similar, that basically people can live with a certain amount of independence and dignity. We have a range of that independence. So we have some people who are very clear that they don't want to cook for themselves. So we've got a chef and there's a meal program. And we've got others who are saying, I want to cook for myself. And we have a whole other sort of independent. And so there can be from some contact, a lot of contact, really depending on what the person articulates as their needs. That in itself is a rather new model. So as we evaluate it, we want to be able to share it because we think that that within the continuum of housing, it's actually an interesting one to use. The final piece really is that we knew that there was such a difference. So a boarding home is considered supportive housing. It's considered a home. Right. Half of the boarding homes still have shared, you're sharing your room with a roommate that you don't know. A lot of independent housing is, how can you make sure that housing is really homey and it's yours? And we've really looked at ways to encourage a sense of entitlement and a sense of that any citizen should expect good housing. We've been really lucky because the housing on our third floor here, it's got 10-foot ceilings, beautiful wooden floors. You know, it's like some of them are 800, 900 square feet, like they're lofts, right? And they're fabulous housing. And people know, they go in there and go, holy shit, like this is amazing housing. And it's like, yes, it is, right? Like it's like, and so there's something really amazing about that, right? Even for next door, Edmund Place, much smaller, but, you know, really well thought out, a lot of thought and care put into the furnishings and access to arts and things to sort of say, make it a home. Don't just make it a place that's not transitional housing, we're not expecting it. How can you make it a home? We've got, you know, here's the artwork that's been donated. You can hang it up. You can do your own. You know, so there's a real piece here, which was to help people figure out how to make that stamp that they really do have a home. That this kind of housing is, you know, boarding homes are often considered kind of transitional housing, even though people can live there permanently. But the reality is that they, if it's shared, et cetera, you may not want to be thinking about it as permanent housing. So we knew that our goal was to create a kind of housing that really provided some permanency,